Yeah, today we really thank God for powerful worship. We certainly need fresh oil, fresh anointing upon our lives. Today I'm going to speak on the topic, anointed to preach the good news. Anointed to preach the good news. Let's take a reading from Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1 and 2 from the New King James Version. It reads, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prisons to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, and to comfort all who mourn." The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. He has today anointed me to preach the good news to you and to everyone who is listening to me, wherever you are in the world, to preach the good news to you because of the anointing. We see here from this reading the complexity, or the very complex and delicate spiritual, emotional, psychological, physical, and demonic issues that has to be dealt with. Just from this reading alone, we see all these complex of activities that need to be dealt with. Most often, churches, or we as a church, we only deal with making people come to faith in Christ. But there are some things that we need to deal with here. There are spiritual issues, there are emotional issues, there are psychological issues, and there are demonic issues that have to be dealt with. All the people who were gathered in the synagogue on that faithful Sabbath day in Nazareth, when Jesus entered and opened the scriptures where he read from the prophet Isaiah, they understood the complexities involved here. That is, one needs something special to be able to accomplish all the things that the Bible is talking about. I'm paraphrasing Jesus Christ, quoting Isaiah's message as I've read it. It is recorded in Luke chapter 4. Verse 18 and verse 19. Now, his audience were very much aware of the complexity of what the prophet Isaiah was saying. So when Jesus took this, they were intrigued to know what he was going to say. Now, when he had said this, listen to their response from Luke chapter 4, verse 20 to 22. The Bible said, "Then Jesus closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, 'Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing.'" Today this scripture is fulfilled in our hearing. "So all bore witnesses to him and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, 'Is this not Joseph's son?'" The words were gracious. The words were powerful. They were marveled that Joseph's son would say this. They were surprised. Why? Because for someone to claim that he's anointed to fulfill these words was a really big deal. A big, big deal. And that is what it says. Is it not Joseph's son? Joseph's son saying this so graciously, so powerfully, enlighteningly, and then telling us that this has been fulfilled in our time. The Jews honored the prophet Isaiah. They see him as a very important prophet in their religion and in their culture. And therefore, for Jesus to say that this has been fulfilled, that was a big deal. But Jesus went on to tell them that those kingdom of God stuff is not a matter of gracious words alone, but a demonstration of the Spirit's power. He told them what is involved to get this message fulfilled in their time and in our time. When he told them that it involves healing the leper, it involves feeding the hungry, It is involved supernatural provision for God's people. They got upset because that bucked the trend of their understanding of scripture. That bucked the trend of their way of life. They got upset, filled with wrath. They were filled with rage. That's the right word. They were filled with rage. That is intense anger. And led Jesus Christ to the edge of the cliff that they might throw him over. If you check this in Luke chapter 4, verse 29, you see it. They were so upset that he was telling them that, you know what? God's supernatural provision will come when there's a demonstration of his power. They were upset that he was telling them that, look, some of these psychological and emotional issues and physical issues is not only solved by natural means, by supernatural means. That is why he said, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon him, for he's anointed him to preach the good news. Their response suggests that the people were not ready or prepared to receive the manifestation of the anointing. They were not prepared for the anointing to come upon them. They were not prepared to take the plunge to accept and engage in what is involved to be anointed, to deal with situations that Jesus Christ is talking about. That the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon him. He has anointed him to preach the good news to the poor, to set captives free, to release those who are bound, and those who mourn, he will comfort them. That is what the message is about. The people were not ready. Note here that the anointing is received by obedience, obeying the word of God, and by faith, acting on it. To receive that anointing, you have to obey God's word. And when you obey God, you have to act on it. His audience, Jesus' audience, obeyed God, presumably, but they were not ready to act on it. Just like most of us, we obey the word of God, but we are not acting on it. That means we actually don't obey at all. That is the simple answer to it. So what is anointing? Anointing, in simple terms, is this. Anointing is a tangible deposit of divine power. It's a tangible deposit of divine power. Write it down. That is God giving supernatural power to obtain exceptional results with the Holy Spirit backing you up. It is a tangible, God tangibly deposit divine power, supernatural power in you. That means it's a targeted power that he deposits in you. When the anointing is upon you, the outcome of whatever you have set out to accomplish will be unexpectedly good. Or to put it another way, it will be exceptional because it is supernatural and it will surprise you. In the last couple of years, I have been so surprised about so many things that God is doing in my life and other people's life in my church and way beyond the boundaries of the United Kingdom in many nations. I've been so surprised by my ministry and what God is doing. It tells you that anointing is a tangible deposit, it's supernatural, and you whatever you set out your hand to do is going to be really good. The purpose of the anointing, what is it? In other words, why do we need anointing? We talk about it. We're Christians. I became a Christian when I was 14 years old. And I've talked about anointing many, many times. There are times I thought I understood it. But now I know that though I thought I understood it, that was information and knowledge. Now that I have revelation, I believe I understand better. So today I want to help you not to go through all those decades and just say things that it's just a cliche that doesn't mean much to you. Here it is. The purpose of anointing is for leadership and ministry. Hear it again. The purpose of anointing is for ministry and leadership. I want you to write this down. When a person is anointed, it is because he's being appointed to a divinely given place of leadership and influence. I'll repeat that. When a person is anointed, it is because he is or she is being appointed to a divinely given place of leadership and influence. The oil was used symbolically to consecrate, to purify, and mark those persons as unique servants of God. In the New Testament, when we are anointed primarily with the Holy Spirit's presence, or put it this way, in the New Testament, we are anointed primarily with the Holy Spirit's presence and power for ministry and for leadership. The anointing comes upon us to operate usually in two ways: personal anointing or corporate anointing. Time will not prevent me to talk about the latter one, corporate anointing. That is when we gather, the anointing that comes. But let's focus on personal anointing. And why will we need that? In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7, it reads, "But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gifts to us." Grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift to us. So personal anointing, I will quote from Apostle Gabriel Maldonado in his book, How to Walk in Supernatural Power of God, page 130. And I quote, "Personal anointing is the measure of supernatural grace that God gives each believer to enable that individual to fulfill his or her callings. Our callings are varied, such as anointing for business, anointing to restore families, anointing to perform miracles, anointing to lead others to Christ, anointing to actually be involved in political activities, or even to be, a politician. Yes, anointing to do ministry or prophetic anointing," unquote. Talking about anointing, we can see that when we say somebody is anointed, we're only not thinking about pastors or special people. Each one of us can be anointed for a particular reason. Each one of us can be anointed and given a divine spirit to put us in a place of leadership and influence. And the Holy Spirit presence will come upon us. The anointing, however, needs to be looked in the context of our character. You see, God does not throw his anointing. We can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Yes, we can be baptized with the Holy Spirit. But to be anointed by the Holy Spirit, your character matters. Or to hold on to your anointing, your character matters a lot. So let's talk about anointing and character. It is the act through which God sets someone apart. So the anointing is the act through which God sets someone apart. He develops their character, qualities, and virtues with the purpose of using them in his ministry or in the place that they are anointed to function. Now, let's look at what King David wrote in the Psalms, Psalm 92, verse 10. He said that, "By my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil." Yes, my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Now, the fresh oil he was talking about is the Holy Spirit. And the horn that he's talking about is his authority and power, where he stands as a king. The power that he has in him. He said this will be exalted like that of a unicorn, a strong power he's talking about. He said, "I shall be exalted with strong power by the Holy Spirit anointing, which is upon me." So when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you are anointed, you will be exalted with strong power to do the work that God has called you to. In this case, David had been called to be a king of Israel. Now let's look at talking about kings. Let's look at another king called Saul, the first king of the United Kingdom of Israel. Saul, David was second. Let's read from 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 6, from the Authorized King James Version. In fact, all other versions give similar interpretation, but I like this one. It said, "And the Spirit of the Lord will come powerfully and mightily upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shall be turned into another man," meaning you shall be changed into a different person. Hear it again. You see, God was speaking through the prophet Samuel to tell Saul that the Spirit of the Lord will come powerfully and mightily upon you, and you will prophesy with the prophets who were anointed to declare the things of God. You will do the things that those mighty men were doing. You will do the same. You'll be with them, and you'll be turned into another man, meaning change into a different person. So that means you are not physically going to change, but you'll be another man. You'll be somebody who now is a totally different person. And certainly, I know myself. I became a Christian in 1974. Think about it, a long time ago. And during this time, I've gone through phases in my spirituality, my faith, and Christianity. I've been ministering since 1976. I've been preaching the gospel since that time. It's been a long, long time. And I just want you to understand, some of you are just coming, but that doesn't matter. You will get there and you probably will overtake many. What I'm trying to say is that during this time, what I've come to understand is that in the last couple of years in particular, I have been changed into a different man. Maybe I'll go back maybe one more year, maybe the last 3 years or so. I've been changed into another man. I've been changed into a different person because of the Spirit of God coming powerfully over me for a specific purpose. So we know from scriptures that Saul, even though he was prophesied, these things was happening, and in fact, when he was anointed, he started joining the prophet and he was prophesying. So people were saying, "Is Saul also among the prophets?" They were surprised that even Saul has been part of the prophet. So today, when you allow the anointing to come upon you, soon will be calling your name. Are you also among the prophet? Because it's going to be incredible. It's going to be powerful. It's going to be supernatural. It's going to be divine. You're going to see miracles by your hand. You're going to see signs and wonders by your hand. You're going to see situation change in your life. Are you also among the prophet? We will come to that when you are anointed by the Spirit of God. So let's go for the anointing. But we know that Saul, from scriptures, that the king of Israel, who was supposed to be anointed to be among the prophet, did not allow the anointing to transform him or change him into a different person or a different man. But he ended up being rejected by God. He did not connect with God. The anointing is therefore when the Spirit empowers you, that is dunamis, with power, clothes you, covers you, and transforms the person's soul and spirit with his character, personality, and qualities and virtues change into another person. So, somebody who's baptized by the Holy Spirit can do so many things, but sometimes not change. Many Christians are walking around, they've been baptized with the Holy Spirit, and some have grown cold because they have not been anointed. They have gone so cold because their character is not bearing witness to the power the Spirit has been poured onto them, and therefore they don't see results. Let us not be rejected by Saul, who did not stand in his anointing. He just gave it away. He was anointed for leadership and influence over so many millions of people, and yet he just threw it away. How many times have we heard many men and women of God, as we call them, or many anointed men and women of God, who have so much power and influence, throw it away because they did not hold on to their character. They did not allow the Spirit to transform them, the anointing to transform them, transform their character, personality, qualities, and virtues. So here we will say that total dependency on the Holy Spirit directly influences the anointing of a Christian leader or a Christian person or whoever called himself a follower of Jesus Christ. The anointing depend upon the Holy Spirit should directly influence how you live your life. As it is manifested in your life, we should see something visible. Without this divine anointing, they will not be able to bring forth fruit for the kingdom. We need that anointing that transforms our character, that changes us. And when we do that, we will see God coming through for us. Because in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, when Zerubbabel was getting discouraged because, I mean, his church was not being built, or the house of God was not being built, and people of Israel were literally going back to where they came from, going back to where they came from, in the sense that all the bad things that they were doing, or some were not doing bad things, but they were not worshiping God. They take every opportunity to take a holiday from God. They take every opportunity to give an excuse from serving God. They take every opportunity to hold back their money, but not giving thanks to God. Their tithe and offering became a tip in the house of God, and God is not interested in that. So when he was so depressed or so discouraged, God said, look, this temple, this house will be built, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, say the Lord of hosts. That is what God, the Lord of hosts, is saying to you. It's not by your might, it's not by your power, it's by the spirit of the living God. We quote these verses, anyhow sometimes, but we refuse to understand the context in which it was given. He was an anointed man. Zerubbabel was an anointed leader. He actually wasn't a priest at all. He wasn't a prophet at all. He wasn't anything. He was only an administrator and a leader, but he was anointed for the work that he was doing. So you don't have to be a pastor to be anointed. Wherever you work, as far as you are doing the work of God, as far as you are relating to people and people of God, God will anoint you to do your work. And that's what Zerubbabel was. If someone's character is not refined to model Christ's character, the weight of the anointing will eventually lead to failure of his ministry. A leader's personal character serves as the foundation, the pillars, and the sustaining building blocks of the anointing. Integrity and an irreproachable character are vital conditions required to effectively minister in the anointing. So then, how do we flow in the anointing? How do we get filled in the anointing? How do we get infilled with the anointing? We ask this question. Sometimes it becomes a religious question. Let's make it simple. How do we flow in the anointing? Because the anointing is the spirit, it flows. If we learn to flow in it, we will minister effectively and see supernatural results. Each time you learn to flow in the anointing, you minister effectively and you will see supernatural result. Supernatural result. So, how do we walk in anointing? Every child of God can walk in anointing from the Holy One if we so desire or are hungry enough. If you are hungry enough, you can walk in the anointing. Look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. That God has given each one of us or made a provision for each one of us to walk in the anointing if we so desire. Anointing is only not to do well, but also to receive from God. We'll come to that shortly. The supernatural power of God is always present to do miracles. Let's take a reading from Luke chapter 5, verse 17, from New King James Version again. It says this, now it happened on a certain day, as he was teaching, he being Jesus, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal. The power of the Lord was present to heal. The anointing is the manifestation of the Holy Spirit's presence. So if Jesus Christ is anointed, then something needs to be present. So when you are anointed, there's always the presence of the Holy Spirit wherever you are, wherever you gather, to do something good. So the anointing is the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, you have to activate it. We have to activate the anointing by acting upon it. That means place a demand on the anointing for something You see, in this reading that we had from Luke 7:15, we see that there were friends of a man who was paralyzed. They couldn't get to Jesus Christ, but they were determined that they want to get to where Jesus Christ was. They knew that the presence of the Lord was there to heal, to do miracles. So they presented their friend before Jesus Christ, and this friend was healed in Jesus' name. So what were they doing? The friends were placing a demand on the anointing that was in Jesus Christ. They said, Jesus, give me. We want to make sure that the anointing does not pass by. We want that anointing. And also when we read Matthew chapter 14, verse 34 to 36, we see that when people heard that Jesus Christ was in town, they went to the countryside, meaning the villages, right? Depends upon which part of the world you are. They went to the country or the countryside, not nations or not physical boundaries. They went to the countryside, the villages, and gathered all people back into the city where Jesus was, that he may lay his hands on them, that they will be healed. And they got healed. Why? They were placing a demand on the anointing. They were activating it. So today, I don't know where you are right now. I don't know what your situation is. Today, I want you to begin to place a demand on the anointing. Let me give one more example before I move on to the next point on how we can, flow in the anointing. In Mark chapter 5, verse 25 to 34, we read about a woman who had an issue of blood. For 12 years, she spent all her money, and her problem was not solved. And this woman heard Jesus coming, and she went closer. He said, if only I can touch the hem of his garments, I'll be made whole. And when she touched the hem of his garment, she was made whole. Her faith made her whole. Jesus said, daughter, your faith has made you whole. So what we are saying is that you have to place demand upon the anointing. She placed a demand on the anointing by touching Jesus. You have to get up by faith and say, God, I know that your spirit is here. I will not let it go past me. I will not let it go pass by. I will place a demand on that anointing so that I will be healed. Literally meaning you are activating, you are stirring it up with your faith. That's very important. Now, for those of you in ministry or those of you who want to demonstrate and who want to live in the anointing, you see, to flow in the anointing, you have to demonstrate it. You can't say you are an anointed man of God, which many people, say they introduce them in the church, they said, this is an anointed man of God, but he doesn't demonstrate anything. She doesn't demonstrate anything. They come to talk, motivate you, make you happy, you go home and you're excited. The next minute you forget about it and you are sad again. Because there's no demonstration, there's no power, there's no real anointing. You got to demonstrate it by walking in faith and obedience. Note these two words, in faith and obedience to the word of God. It is the faith and obedience that activates the power for manifestation. That is the demonstration of the word with visible proofs. That is what we call manifestation. So when you obey God's word and when you act on it by faith, you are able to demonstrate the power of God. This has surprised me in my own ministry lately, that I always expect things like that to happen these days because I obey the word of God. And I believe God. And some of the things that God has done through my hand, it is very incredible. And through the hands of some of the people in my church, it is very incredible. And what God will do in your life and in your hand or by your hand, it will be very incredible. Now, the next thing I want you to, know to do, to flow in the supernatural, to flow in the anointing is this: sort your life out. Some of you have heard me saying that many times, sort your life out. You see, to be anointed, first you should have a life of consecration. That means come before God, cleanse yourself of those sin, bad things, bad thoughts, the bitterness and the hatred is in your life, the unforgiving, sort it out. Those little adventures that you take that you know it is not helpful for you, sort it out. Then you should also I mean, to sort your life out also means that you should engage in intense, underline the word, intense prayer and fasting. And this will keep the anointing flowing. Intense doesn't mean that long prayers. Intense doesn't mean that long, I mean, many 90 days of fasting. It means you are consistent, you are persistent, you are determined in your prayer that you want to have result. You are determined to fast and seek God's face so that your prayers will be, your prayers will be activated, will be empowered to achieve results. That is what I mean. In my church, I tell people that make sure if you want to know God seriously and move in supernatural power, pray at least 1 hour every day. At least 1 hour every day. Listen to what Jesus said. He told his disciples, but couldn't you keep watch for 1 hour? Couldn't you keep watch for 1 hour? So 1 hour is not long enough. So we have to pray at least 1 hour each day. And I said fast at least one day a week. Not just to be hungry, but fast for result, fast for purpose. That's what we are saying. Number four on how we want to flow in the anointing. Number one is activate anointing. Number two is, demonstrate. Number three, sort your life out. Number four, flow in it. God's anointing flows into those that are genuinely humble before the Lord. In John chapter 7, verse 37 to 38, we know Jesus Christ was at a festival, and at the end of the festival, he got up and shouted with a loud voice. He says, if anyone is thirsty, let him come. Let him come and drink from the water of life, and it will flow through him to eternity. So God wants the anointing to flow. He doesn't want the anointing to dry out. So God wants us to, the anointing to flow in us. That means the anointing to fill. That is why in church we said, oh, we want to be refilled or infilled with the Holy Spirit. So when you are baptized with the Holy Spirit, you don't stop there. Every now and then in your prayer, say, God, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Anoint me for a purpose. Anoint me for breakthroughs. Anoint me to change lives. Anoint me so that my own life will be changed. That is what we are asking for. Number five, that is, you have to be in that place to receive the anointing. You got to be in that place, for God intentionally gives it for his purpose. God actually gives the anointing intentionally. I use the word, the intentionality of God in the anointing is incredible. So let's look at a few characters and we'll bring our message to an end. Let's look at David. David, who became a king. He was a young lad, being a shepherd on the field. And he was anointed with oil to be a king. Now imagine him standing there with all his older brothers there. And he coming to stand there. And then they say, you are the king. It must be worrying. It must be scary. It must be intimidating. It must be also humiliating for the other brothers. But you know what? God has intentionally rewarded you because David knew how to fight battles in the wilderness. He knew how to pray. He knew how to worship God on the fields. He knew how to seek God's face. And therefore, God chose him and anointed him with oil by Samuel. God chose him and asked Samuel to anoint him with oil in front of his enemies. So when he wrote Psalm 23, he said, thou anointed me with oil in the presence of my enemies. So God will anoint you that your enemies cannot touch you. That's what it does. When we look at Elisha, the anointing will come. David came by anointing with oil. Elisha, that was also a very intentional way of anointing him. That it's by impartation with a mantle. A mantle was thrown on him. David example, sorry, you can take it for 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 1 and verse 13. I forgot to give you that, but you can take that now. 1 Samuel 16, 1 to 13. In Elisha's case, you can take it from 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 19 to 21. Elijah threw a mantle over him. And when he threw a mantle over him, the Bible said that he was made a prophet of God. The Spirit came upon him powerfully. Elisha was able to raise the dead. Elisha was able to part waters. Elisha did so many miracles, even more than Elijah did. That was amazing. And let's look at Paul and Silas. The anointing came by laying of hands by the apostolic, church. Because they were in that church in Antioch, they said they were apostles and teachers. And they sought the face of God with fastings and prayer. And God said, set apart for me, Paul and Silas. They laid their hands on them for apostolic ministry and for missions. That's in Acts chapter 13, verse 1 to 3. Now, the last one I want you to, and I mean, to bring to your example, I want to bring to your attention is Jesus Christ himself. The Spirit came upon him. He was commissioned to preach good news to the world. Now, you can see that all these examples that I'm giving you, there's an intentionality on the part of God. But you've got to be in the right place. You've got to be that kind of person who's ready to receive it. So today I will say this, and I'll finish my preach by quoting Acts chapter 10, verse 38. It says it, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. God anointed Jesus Christ with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good, not only giving bread for people who were hungry, but healing people who were oppressed and casting out devils to set people free. So today, I, like Elijah and Jesus Christ, will remind ourselves that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, and to comfort all those who mourn. Hey, thank you so much for listening to this message. God bless you, and God keep you, and I hope you'll be ready for the anointing.